This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stasio. The term opera singer may conjure images of rotund men and women in formal wear singing in foreign languages. But while that's the stereotype, I'm about to disabuse you of that, it may ring true from time to time. But my guest today says modern opera singers cannot just park and bark. They have to be strong. They have to be savvy. They have to know how to communicate the power of operatic work to an ever-changing audience. And that's you. Jill Gardner has been working as a professional opera singer for the past decade, often starring in Puccini's famed opera Tosca. She's been attracting attention for her strong vocal and acting talent, but this weekend she's going to do something a little different. She's going to do a solo recital at her alma mater, UNC Greensboro. It's part of the Music Academy of North Carolina's 6th Annual Vocal Festival, and Jill Gardner joins us right now to tell us more about it. Hello, Jill Gardner. And I'm right? You don't sound like John Prine. Did you ever?
No, but it's so funny. You know, I love John Prine. John Prine and John Hiatt are probably two of my favorite folk songwriter singers. And my husband, who is also an opera singer as well, when we take road trips together, it's very funny. We listen to opera, but we're often engaged in other styles of music, which we love too. And those two are always two that I pick to go out on the road. So I look forward to reading your book.
Well, storytelling is a very important part of both of them in his career, but obviously opera, that's part of what you have to convey, right? You have to story across.
Yes, and I think that's actually why I became an opera singer. I studied piano for the early part of my life. As I was saying to Christy, my accompanist earlier, I started taking piano lessons when I was 5 because my great-grandmother, who grew up in Salemburg, North Carolina, was a pianist herself. And my mother knew she had to get me to the piano when I knocked my front teeth out trying to crawl up on her piano bench. And so I started playing piano and studying music very early on and always sang. I was raised in the church, did musicals at school, you know, the whole nine yards. But I never really thought about becoming an opera singer until my undergraduate degree when I was there on a piano scholarship and took a voice minor. And I had a teacher who really allowed my voice to develop naturally and started to learn repertoire. And I fell in love with singing words to music. And I think a part of that also was studying other languages other than English. And so when I realized that I could really convey myself through words, it changed my life. And so a part of why I think then I went on to become an opera singer in a dramatic style like that is because we are as much telling a story dramatically about a character through this libretto as we are just singing music. And that's what made me go nuts.
Well, we're glad you did. How about singing in other languages? Did you grow up learning these other languages? I mean, had you learned them, or did you learn them for opera? Italian?
Yes. No, I am a Native American English-speaking person. I grew up north of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, in a little town called Tobaccoville, North Carolina. So we spoke Southern English, as I love to say. But yes, I studied French when I was in high school, loved the French language. And then when I went on to do my master's at UNCG, although it wasn't a part of the curriculum as a voice major, I took 2 years of Italian because I had a feeling Italian music was going to be a part of my life. And so I speak very well in Italian and sort of in French. If I'm in a culture where I do that, I would really challenge myself. But it was actually not a part of my upbringing, as some bilingual families are in America, where they have two languages or more spoken in the house. But and it's also why the fulcrum of this recital that I'm doing is English.
Mm.
I have a big Debussy set on it, but I really love to communicate to people in our language because it's so much more intimate that way.
You can use the French in Carrboro, which is, of course, the Paris of North Carolina.
But of course, yes, may we.
This is very different for you, this at the Music Academy of North Carolina, the whole performance. I mean, in the sense that you're doing a solo, it won't be the stories that you normally tell and sing in opera, right?
No, it's great. The Music Academy of North Carolina is doing their 6th annual vocal festival this weekend, March the 20th and the 21st. first. So I kick off the festival with this recital at the UNCG Recital Hall on Friday night. And it's very different for me as opposed to putting on a costume and singing a big Puccini heroine with my comrades on the stage with scenery that I get to chew up and you know, try to kill the baritone. You know, this particular evening, it's what's different about it is it's just me and my wonderful accompanist, Christy. And so we're still storytelling. That's why I love this particular kind of literature. But it's so much more personal. And it's been a challenge in a way, because you don't have any other energy on the stage with which you can fall in love or repel, but you're creating that within yourself, and it's actually reawakened a part of me that wants to be able to communicate to people. Then it like this. This is so wonderful. The radio audience can't see it, but here we are in this space, and I've got these fabulous people sitting around the tables very close to me, and I feel you. And there's nothing like that in the world. That's why we do this.
Well, maybe you can give us a sample with your accompanist, Christy, with Sari Wong.
Yes.
And we'll hear a little sample right now. Can
yes.
You?
This is the last song of a song cycle based on Robert Browning poetry called The Years at the Spring by an American composer, female American composer, by the name of Amy Chaney Beach. And it's called The Years at the Spring.
At 7, the hillsides dew pearled. The years at the spring and the days at the morn, the larks on the wing, the snails on the thorn. Not in his hand.
Soprano Jill Gardner, it is, with Christy with Sari Wong on keyboard. They're going to be performing together Friday at 7:30 UNC Greensboro Recital Hall, The Years at the Spring. Tell us more about that song and the composer.
Do you know, it's a wonderful story. A lot of the poetry that I have on this recital are 18th century poets, Robert Browning, Charles Baudelaire, Emily Dickinson, and William Blake was a little earlier in that time. He was actually born in the 1700s. But these Browning songs are the spirit of them is truly based in the romantic ideal of beauty and passion. And Amy Chaney Beach was really recognized. She was born in 1867, and she composed this song cycle that we're going to do in 1900. And she was actually known more as Mrs. H.H.A. Beach because she married a prominent doctor in Boston. And she was recognized as a child prodigy in the piano and as a composer. But, of course, as we women are still fighting for gender equality, she, at that time, got more recognition as the wife of this prominent doctor in her career than based just on the fact that she was this prodigy. Mm-hmm. But she was born in New Hampshire, but the majority of her career took place in Boston, in the Northeast. But this song cycle, I fell in love very early in my life with, and it's very, as you heard, this style of music that she writes, this is very indicative of what she does. So it's just romantic orgies all over the place.
Well, thank you.
I know I would love her. I know I would love her if I got the opportunity to meet
You're
her.
You're feeling the energy from this group now, aren't
yes.
you?
Ooh, yeah. We're getting hot in here. We're getting hot.
Well, thank you. That's great that you brought her to our attention. I mean, I deeply appreciate that as well. Will you do another song for us?
Absolutely. To segue on, the next piece that I'd like to do is of the next set on the recital, which is a set of songs by Claude Debussy, based on the poetry of Charles Baudelaire, who his seminal poetic work was called Les Fleurs du Mal, or The Flowers of Evil, which was published in 1857. And he tried to put together, synthesize nature with inner states of being and experiences. And this whole song cycle is really about the love cycle, the love relationship that he shared with, particularly with a woman who he never married. Her name was Jeanne Duval. And they had a very wonderful but tumultuous relationship. And this song was written after their sort of final second breakup. And it's based on their evenings on the balcony. It's called Le Balcon. And he refers to her as the mother of his memories and the mistresses of all mistresses.
C'est ainsi qu'une cloison, et mes yeux dans le noir devinaient tes prunelles, et je buvais ton souffle. sœur au boiseau.
Jill Gardner, accompanied by Christy Withsuth-Seriwong, and they are going to be performing together Friday, 7:30 at UNC Greensboro Recital Hall. It's part of the Music Academy of North Carolina's 6th Annual Vocal Festival. So beautiful. I only have a minute and a half left, and I'd love to give you some time to sing us out. So I'm going to do that and just remind everybody that this is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacio. Once again, Jill Gardner. Jill, are you going to do music based on the poetry of Emily Dickinson as well?
Yes. There's an Andre Previn set after the Debussy that's based on three Emily Dickinson songs. And the first song of that is As Imperceptibly as Grief. And so I think, why don't we sing you out on that piece? As imperceptibly as grief, the summer lapsed away, too imperceptible at last to seem like perfidy. Quietness distilled as twilight long begun, or nature spending with herself sequestered afternoon. Dusk drew earlier in, the morning far unshone, a courteous yet harrowing grace, as a guest that would be Thank you.